Corinthians chapter 2. I like the book of Philippians. Paul wrote this when he was in Roman prison. Philippians chapter 2, let's look down at verse number 12 in your Bible. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's a great passage of scripture Paul wrote from a Roman prison to the church at Philippi. I wanted to talk about a good subject today. I mean, this is just great. Salvation is a gift. Think about this. Salvation is a gift. We've been given salvation. We didn't deserve salvation. That's kind of hard for us to think about. We sometimes want to think about, well, you know, I deserve this, I deserve that. But as a sinner, we don't deserve anything. We didn't earn salvation either. God didn't give you salvation because you were a good little boy, good little girl. And you take the time to read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, even in the New as well. People are just pure mean, folks. People have just treated God horribly. And yet God just keeps loving people. Salvation is the greatest of all gifts. Now, you've gotten gifts in your life that you really appreciated and loved. Probably all of us have. But you've never had a gift like salvation. You won't ever get another gift like salvation, folks. I mean, that's the grandest of all gifts, to be saved. Give to you. Didn't deserve it. Didn't earn it. Fact is, you didn't even think about it to start with. But it was available. The greatest of all gifts, and it's a gift given by our Creator to people that want it. Do you want salvation? God gives it to those that want it. The faith to receive this gift of salvation was also given to you. That's another amazing thing. The faith to believe. How did we get that faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God, God in His wisdom through the Holy Spirit will cause faith to rise up in us to believe what He says. So faith itself is a gift so we can believe if you want to believe. Now, you can choose not to believe, which most people do. Or you can choose to believe with that faith God gives you. He gives you enough faith to believe if you'll use it. Now we're told in this scripture to work out this salvation. What in the world is he talking about? Work it out. Well, that's what I want to kind of major on in our thoughts today. We're to work out this salvation. And the bottom line is, it means to begin to live like Jesus. Boy, now that's a goal to reach for. We're to live like Jesus. Work out a salvation that helps us to be like Jesus. That means we have a lot of growing to do, at least I do. A lot of growing to do. Amen? Just when I think I'm doing pretty good, I get knocked down. Amen? I don't know about y'all. I can only talk about me. But that's what it means. We're to be growing. And it shows us when we get in the Bible and begin to hear the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, it shows us how much we got to grow. Amen? Just when you think you got a good streak going, you get knocked back. You see just how much of a sinner you are. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, I've always loved this verse since I discovered it many years ago. Peter said, but grow in grace. Grow in this grace that God has given to us. And in the knowledge. Grow in knowledge. How are you going to grow in knowledge? The Bible is where you get knowledge from. The knowledge about God. The knowledge about how to live. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So since we've been given salvation, we're supposed to start growing. Like a little baby's just been born. Each day we see a change in that little thing. And it's not long before it's walking around. And it's not long it walks off and leaves you. Amen. Y'all know about it too, don't you? Yeah. It seemed like they were just little things. And all of a sudden they're up and gone. The more we know about the Lord from his word, listen to this. This is true with me. I bet it's with you. The more you know about the Bible, the more you enjoy the Lord. The more you enjoy the Lord, the more you know about the Bible and his plan, his love, his goodness, and what he's got waiting for you. Think about that. The more you know about this old book here, the Word of God, the more you enjoy the Lord. The more we learn to walk humbly before the Lord and before men, the more we'll be blessed of the Lord. We're supposed to walk humbly. That goes against our nature, doesn't it? Walk humbly. That's what God's looking at. Well, people that's humble people, not boastful, arrogant, stubborn, proud. God hates all that. He wants humble people. He said, don't you think more of yourself than you ought to think. Peter also said, the more we grow, the more glory the Lord will get from our lives. The more we grow, the more glory God gets. And seeing our lives being changed, seeing our lives being conformed to Jesus Christ, it gives God glory. Think about it. The more we please the Lord, the more glory he gets, because he sees people can see how God has blessed us and changed our life. People notice us. Did you know it? People talk about them hypocrites at the church, so they're noticing us. Amen? So the more we grow, the more glory we give to the Lord, and more we impress people that don't know the Lord. Even the angels of heaven see the changes that's taking place in us. And it amazes the angels that God would save sinners. They're befuddled, if I can use that word, that God would save sinners. You know, God threw angels out of heaven with that sin. He didn't offer them any salvation. He didn't have a plan of salvation for the angels, but he did for sinners. This salvation that's been given to us, the angels were not offered, but God is pleased to give to us sinners who will believe in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's pleased to give us salvation. You see, the angels were with God. They knew God. They were with God. We were not like that. And so God has chose to offer salvation to fallen humanity that will accept his Son as their Savior. Our salvation is not cheap, though. Our salvation is not a cheap salvation. It required the death of God's Son, the most horrible death there's ever been. We can't overemphasize the death of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's been millions of people hung on a cross, no doubt. That's a horrible way to die, folks. But no one has died like Jesus. He not only hung on a cross, but his soul was made an offering for sin and the wrath of God. A God full of wrath. His judgment fell on his only Son. And folks, there's no way to describe that. He bore the suffering and the wrath of God for all sinners. Hanging on a cross. It was like all sinners being in hell for eternity. Christ bore it on the cross. How could he do that? There was only one way he could do that. He was not just a man. He was God. And sin to God is that hateful. It's that horrible. We look at sin as, and we just brush it off. God don't. And so sin is so hateful to God, Jesus had to experience the wrath of God for every person to satisfy God who is holy. That's how holy he is. He just can't overlook sin. Sin has to be paid for because of who God is. And most people, maybe a lot of even church people, can't understand that, but that's the truth. He's just a holy God. And the Bible says he changes not. He's always been holy. He'll always be holy because if he's not, he wouldn't be God. He experienced the wrath of God who hates all sin, Jesus did. Our sin is this condemning to us. It condemned us. When a little baby is born, it's already condemned. It's under the condemnation. It's a sinner. Now, a little baby's not going to go to hell if it dies young, but when it reaches age of accountability, it would. This salvation of God was planned in eternity past before God ever made the world. See, God knows everything. Isn't that awesome? God knows everything. God knows how many grains of sand's on all the oceans in the world. Well, he's an all-knowing God. Before the world was created, God planned our salvation for us. Every detail about it. And salvation is an expression of God's great love for all of us. God loves us this much, church. Think about that. How much you are loved today. You think your mate loves you? They may. They might. You love us? Called her.
You said the last thing I heard you say was, you might love, you might not. You said you love us.
Our mates might love us, amen? But God certainly loves us. And with a pure love, Brother Johnny, a pure love, an eternal love, God loves people in hell. He didn't want them people in hell, but he let them choose to go there. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4, because we're going to go through something here. We're going to talk about it a little bit, and I could go to other passages, but I just chose these for our thoughts today. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to talk about the effects of salvation. These passages just give us a little demonstration. And there's other passages I could have used. And I don't have time to use all others either. So we'll just use these. And as you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, listen to what I'm fixed to say. We have to make our bodies obey. We have to make our bodies obey. Our bodies, are the nature of our bodies, since we've been given salvation, has not changed. It still has this sin nature. And you have to learn to make your body do right. And it's not always easy. But in Ephesians 4, look at verse 22 first. That ye, believers, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, your old nature, you that like to retaliate, get even, bless, do this, be proud, be that. The body that's out of control, he says that you put that away now that you've been saved. Don't you live like that no more. We got to make our body do that. Now, it took me years to learn this. If the preacher ever taught it like this, I didn't get it. But this is what you have to do. Once you accept Christ, you got to start making your body obey what the Bible says. Everybody get that? You can't let your body do this and your body do that. You gotta learn to deny self. You can't use a cop-out and say, well, that's just the way I am. You can't do that because you're not growing in it. You're rebelling against what God's want. So when you get saved, you gotta start listening to what the Bible says. Listening to what the Word says. Learning to control the way you think, the way you act. And he says, put off that old former man. That's the old man. Junior sings that old song, the old man is dead. When you get saved, he's in God's sight dead. He's put aside now. And we gotta realize that and start living like the side Jesus is on. And it's hard. It's not easy. Like Billy Graham always says in his sermons, being a Christian is not easy. You got to learn it in thyself. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In your mind, you say, I'm a Christian. I can't live like I used to live. I can't do like I used to do. Be renewed, listening to the word of God, so you can live a life to please the Lord. Folks, it's not easy. It's a struggle. And then he says, and that you put on the new man. Put on the, who's the new man? Jesus. Start living like Jesus. Start praying for people that don't like you. Start praying for people that mistreat you. That's what Jesus taught. That's what we're supposed to learn. That's how we're to grow, mature. And this is the effect of salvation. When I get saved, I'm supposed to start living different now. I'm a new person now. And it should show up in the way I live. Because I am a new person when I get saved. And then he says, wherefore put away all lying. You follow it in your Bible there? Put away lying. Don't be lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Always tell the truth. For your members one of another. We're members of the body of Christ. We're God's people. We're saints. We're sons and daughters of God. We got to be different. We got to look different. We got to act different. Why? I'm different. I've been saved. But if I live like the man down the street, we ain't going to have no testimony to affect people, are we? And so that's what's wrong with the church today. The church at large today. You can't tell what's a Christian and not a Christian in most places. We got Christians shacking now. We got Christians drinking now. At least they say they are Christians. We can't live like that. We're supposed to be have a different lifestyle. Living different. Be angry and sin not. Be angry. What do you mean be angry? Be angry at sin. Be angry. Don't get involved in it. Be angry at the work of the devil, but don't let it mess you up and cause you to sin. But the way you act. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil an inch in your life. Because he's always gouging at you. Amen? Yeah. Hey, this is the effect of being saved. Live different, Paul says. Be different. Why? You're a new person once you get saved. And it's not going to be automatic. You got to put on this new man, the Bible says. You got to put him on. You got up this morning. You took off your night clothes. And you put on your Sunday go meet clothes, right? You put him on. You didn't come in your night clothes, did you, Linda? Amen? See there? Yeah. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't be cursing, speaking vulgar. That's not no place for a Christian that's been saved. Learn to say yes, no. And he says, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Speak so people will know, boy, they must be a Christian the way they talk. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit's in you if you've been saved? The Holy Spirit's God, the third member of the Trinity. And we grieve him when we don't live right, think right. Got to watch your thoughts. The Bible says bring all your thoughts under control. Even your thinking's got to be controlled. That's the reason you need to read good books rather than bad books. Watch it. Watch what you watch on TV. I never have liked to watch violence on TV. All that. I never have watched pornography type mess. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit won't leave you if you sin. He still stays right there. But you grieve him. He's grieved. Think about that. The Holy Spirit inside of you is grieving because of the way you and I are acting. That's what Paul's telling us, folks, as Christians. This is the effect of our salvation. Be different. Got to be like, learn to be like Jesus. He said, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Think about that. These people losing their salvation. They don't know what they're talking about. When you got saved, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're the Lord's property now forever. Just hold on. I got a good one to tell you in a minute now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, Paul said. Don't have all that in you. It don't become you. That's not who we are. Here's what he said to do. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. You know, in churches today, they're fussing and a fighting. Did you know that? I've been in churches like this. Oh, listen, folks. Churches are not perfect. We're imperfect people come together, but we got to learn to love one another, forgive one another, get along with one another, and not have church splits. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Think about how imperfect me and you are, and God forgave us. God forgave us, even you. Wow. Yeah. As the children of Israel journeyed to the promised land, listen to this. You know what they did. Now, God got them out of Egypt, right? Remember that? And on the way to the promised land now, the children of Israel grumbled, they whined, they complained all the way. They complained about their food. They complained about the water. They complained about the giants. And they complained about Moses, their leader, that it led them out. They got mad at him. And because of this, God delayed their entering the promised land. They could have been in the promised land in just a few days, but because they complained and whined and grumbled, it took them 40 years. And all of them over 20 died in the desert. They didn't even get to go to the promised land. Because of this, God delayed their entering the promised land. And as Christians, listen to me, as Christians, we're on our way to heaven, right? Amen? You've been saved, you're on your way to heaven. Are we grumbling? Complaining? Whining? On the way to heaven? Are we? God had to remove Israel from Egypt. Listen now, listen to me. God removed Israel from Egypt that was enslaved. And then he had to remove Egypt from Israel. They had Egypt in Israel. They wanted to go back to the melons because life was so hard in the desert. God had to work with them Israelites. Folks, listen. God saved me and you from a condemned world. Now he's working on us to get the world out of us. Amen? So we'll learn to love him, depend on him, serve him, live for him. When we confess Jesus as our Savior, we're supposed to join a Bible church and be baptized and faithfully attend and support the ministry of the local congregation. That's what we're supposed to do. It's amazing the people that stay home. I can watch it on TV. I believe I read in the book where it said, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. It didn't say assemble around the TV. I know some people are providentially hindered, but in a lot of cases, that ain't the case. Attending Sunday school, preaching, prayer meeting is very important for our spiritual growth. We need all of that. It's also good for our testimony to our family, friends, and the community when they see us supporting the services in the local church. It also is going to determine our rewards when we get to heaven one day. How faithfully have we served the Lord, obeyed the Lord, lived for the Lord since we've been saved? Most people don't even think about it. From the day you were saved, you had the opportunity, and I had the opportunity to start laying up rewards in heaven. Now, we don't serve the Lord for rewards, but the Lord's going to give rewards to those that are faithful in serving him. Reading our Bibles at home and studying God's Word will enrich our lives day by day. Having salvation gives us meaning and purpose in life. Think about that. Being saved has meaning, gives us meaning. We're somebody. We're God's children. They give us a purpose for living, serving the Lord. We're serving the greatest master. One of the problems today people have, feel their lives, is they have so many activities they're involved with, they leave out the most important need of life, that is the Word of God. People, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to do this or that. In our text it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your salvation, how's it coming along? Paul said, work it out with fear and trembling. Be careful how you're living, because you're living before the Lord. For it is God that's working in you. Think about it. God's working in your life. God, the Creator, is working in your life. Think about it. to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working out your life. We're supposed to be working with him. As we work on our salvation, God is working to make us what he wants us to be. He's changing us. He's helping us to grow up. We start off as babes in the Lord, but as we feast on the word, we grow and mature and become spiritual. The Apostle Paul told the believers at Philippi, work out their salvation. What did he mean? When we are saved, that is not the end of our salvation, just being saved. It's the beginning of a new life. We have a new life when we get saved. I've said this before, when I was young and I got saved at age 14, I thought, now that I'm saved, I don't have to go to church no more. You know, that's what I thought initially. Boy, I have a lot to learn. Growing in our salvation is a lifelong journey. We're to be growing until we leave this world. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. And the more you know about the Bible, the more wonderful it is, folks. The more exciting it is. And I love to hear a lot about prophecy now, because I believe we're at the end of the age, and I'm trying to learn all I can about what's coming next. Amen? Because any second, phew, we'll be gone. Nothing else has to happen concerning prophecy. The rapture could happen at any time now. And the way things are in our world today, the unrest and the way Israel's being surrounded by her enemies and all those rockets being shot at her. Folks, we may not be long for this world. We may not be long for it. Now we are to serve the Lord now that we've been saved. Allowing the Lord to use us. He's purchased us. We're his people. He's got a plan for us. He wants to use us to get out the word. That's the reason we got all these mission programs here at the church. Trying to share the word. This past week, our air conditioner was a little bit on the blink. I mean, it was really on the blink. And with the help of Danielle, they talked to someone that knew someone that was an air conditioning repairman, and they came by the house the other night. I forget what night it was. Monday night? Tuesday night? Monday night, I believe. It was hot. I mean, it was hot. And this person came by the house. We didn't know him. Nice guy. I mean, he was a busy little feller working on that air conditioner. And directly, me and Faye were standing there, and his wife had come and brought some Freon for the air conditioner. And he said, what's your name? I said, Raymond. Raymond. Raymond what? Raymond Ellis. Raymond Ellis? A celebrity here? He'd been hearing us on the radio all the time. He, and his wife said, Raymond Ellis, I hear y'all all the time. Our ministry's going out. That was the point I said that. It's happening. It happens all the time. People are listening. We're getting the word out. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. Getting the word out. Getting the word out. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, listen to this. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Think about that, your body. The Holy Ghost is living in you, which is in you, which ye have of God, which, and ye are not your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore. And you know, the world today said, well, this is my body. I do with it what I want to. And they got it tattooed from foot to the top of their head, some of them. That's going to be a pretty sight at the judgment, won't it? They'll be trying to scratch it off. For you're bought with a price. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. That's what I'm talking about today. Your salvation, you're a new person now. We're to live different. This is a gift that's given to us. And now, what you going to do with that gift? You going to appreciate it? You going to appreciate the one that gave it to you? Going to try to honor him with your life now? If you do, you can even earn rewards besides having salvation. What a God, folks. What a God, Johnny. What a good God. And all the time he's with us now. Amen? Amen. Yeah. We don't only have the gift of salvation, we got the Holy Spirit living in us too. Amen. Let's talk about how to live. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, Paul said, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom he shines as lights in the world. We're supposed to be a light in this world. We're supposed to be a light. Help others to see what the Lord has did. Paul cautioned us not to be murmuring and disputing. We were taught that at home when I was growing up. When I was in the Army, you know what we were told? My sergeant told me when we got went in on base boot camp, the sergeant said, listen, I'm your mama and I'm your daddy. That's what he said. And he weren't smiling. Man, that was a mean looking acting feller. And I was scared to death. It wasn't funny. He wasn't funny. He said, I'm going to tell you when to eat. I'm going to tell you when to sleep. I'm going to tell you when to get up. He says, I'm going to tell you where to go and what to do. And you know, for 8 weeks, that's what he did. Tell you what, there was some bad crawling in that under that barbed wire, them machine guns over your head are firing. Oh, sitting out under a pine tree, tried to eat stew beef and rice in August with all them gnats, and I thought it was black pepper, amen? That's the way it is in the Army. Brother Kerry can tell you about that. Yeah, so Paul cautioned us not to be murmuring and disputing, folks. Now, Jesus is our Lord and Master, and we should live as he says. Now, he's a good master. Amen. As Christians, we have the Word of God to direct our lives. As Christians, when we fail to live and serve our Lord, he's going to chastise us. He's going to whip. There's a lot of Christian people today. I'm saying Christian. They're miserable today because God's whipping them, and they ain't even got sense enough to know it. They ain't got sense enough to know God's a whipping them. And their lives is miserable. And I'm afraid a lot of them are taken out of this world early because they won't repent. They commit to sin and to death. We must always remember we are to be a witness for the Lord at all times. Faye's little Honda was got some aches and pains, and we went by the Honda dealer with it the other day. We walked in there. You guess what happened? Somebody come up to us and talking, and directly had a salesman over there wanting to sell us a new one, you know. So we got over there to a table. Well, I got to talk to him. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, you know anything about the rapture? No. And finally, he said, I think I've heard about it. So I reached in my pocket and I gave him a track on how to be saved, because I didn't know, think too much about the salvation he might have. Folks, there's a lot of people think they're saved and they just may not be saved. May not be saved. We must remember to be a witness for the Lord. We are to be a light in a dark world. And how are we going to be a good witness if we don't live a disciplined life ourselves? The gifts of salvation is a life-changing experience. We're going one way, and when you get saved, you go to reverse. You go to reverse. Because you were going the wrong way. You were headed for hell. But now we're going to heaven. Amen? Are you excited you're going to heaven? Amen? Folks, we could be there in a second. Me and my brother in South Carolina was talking last night. I said, Murray, how's it going to be when we get to heaven? What are we going to do? Is the angel going to show us around? Murray said, maybe we're already new. I don't know what is going to go on when we get to heaven, folks, when all that crowd that'll be there. Yeah, being born again makes one a new person. It should change our talk and our walk. Remember, the gift of salvation makes you a son and daughter of God. Think about that promotion. You were once a child of the devil. Did you know that? Weren't you a pretty little thing, a child of the devil? But God makes us sons and daughters of God. Boy, that's a promotion, folks. All because of the gift of salvation. Yeah. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Now that we're saved, God is working in our lives. Thinking about that. God's working in your life now. He's your owner. God's living in you and working in your life. And the Holy Spirit, you know what he's doing? He's leading you home. He's leading us home. We're on the way home. Some of us are way down the road, amen? Some of us are way down the road, Brother Carter Ray. Yeah, the value of salvation, salvation cannot be purchased with any amount of money or good deeds. As a lot of people think, when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to see how many good works I had, and if I have more than the bad works, I'll get to go to heaven. That's not the way God's judging. No, it's not the way. A lot of people think that, though. Yeah. Salvation is a gift that God gives to sinners that repent of their sin. And they ask Jesus to forgive them and be their Savior. There's no other shortcut, folks. Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. The value of our salvation is seen in who suffered for us and who died for us. That's how valuable our salvation is. The Son of God died so we could be saved. Boy, that's a valuable salvation, folks. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Jesus died upon the cross for us, folks. He died so we could be saved, so we could have the gift of salvation. Let's love the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Let's live for the Lord. Let's share the Lord. Let's keep working for the Lord, because we all are soon going to be home and be with the Lord. Amen. May God speak to hearts and challenge our hearts today. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for this day, this beautiful Lord's Day, this opportunity to be in the house of prayer, Lord, where we could come and worship thee, praise thee, give thanks unto thee, Lord, and to honor thee by submitting ourselves to our great Creator God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless each one assembled here, those unable to be here for whatever reason. Lord, on this Memorial Weekend, we just thank you for those that you allowed to lay their lives down for our freedom, Lord. What an awful cost for them that they lost their lives defending freedom for us today. It breaks our heart. It's so sad to think about, Lord. It's just so sad to see all the crosses, Lord. Young lives, old lives, lives that was taken so people could be free. But what's even more wonderful is that one life, that perfect life, that gave his life so we could have salvation and live forever with the gift of salvation through faith in him who took our place and paid our debt. Bless each one. Bless those unable to be in church today. Bless all the many ministries of this church. Use it to exalt your name. Bless Brother Chavis. Encourage him and his family. And others. Miss Mary. We miss, Lord. We miss Miss Mary, Lord. Bless her. Her situation, Lord. My sister and her situation. And others too, Lord. Sick and afflicted, we pray. And those in the salvation box. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This time we'll receive communion.